Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just ask the Holy Spirit to rule over our soul this morning. Rule over my soul, rule over my soul. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. And Father, here we are this morning gathering together just to pray. And Lord, as we begin this morning by looking at another prayer in the Bible, Lord, help us to learn from what you show us in your word and write it on our hearts that we would understand it and then to do it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have an interesting prayer this morning, and I'm going to read it and then ask for volunteers in interpreting it.
There's only one interpreter, so the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Deuteronomy 21, verse 6. I think we only turned half the lights on. We only half power. There, thank you. Deuteronomy 21, verse 6. And all the elders of that city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, here's a prayer. Our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. The setting of this prayer is, of course, we have Deuteronomy, which is a review, really, or a summary of the first four books of the Bible. And Moses is summarizing the prayers, or summarizing the laws here, so forth, that have been given to the children of Israel during the 40-year march. Now, keep in mind, they haven't gone into the land yet. They're still in on the Jordan side, today, the land of Jordan side of Israel. But notice how the Lord's heart is so strong for the sanctity of life. And we have the very first revelation of that, really, way back in Genesis 4, when Cain killed Abel. And God said, the blood of Abel cries out from the ground. And so it's like the blood, innocent blood, being shed is like a witness and a prosecutor, really, it would seem. And as we get on in to God's heart here for this land that he's promising the people of Israel, in Numbers 35, it's mentioned, and then right here closer by, so you don't have to turn so far. If you'll just look back a couple of chapters of Deuteronomy 19, verse 11, we're talking about the cities of refuge. And if someone kills someone accidentally, then there is protection for them. But notice in verse 11, if it's premeditated, how harsh the penalty is. Or I don't say harsh, but exacting, really. And in Deuteronomy 19:11, we read, but if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him and strikes him mortally so that he dies, and he flees to one of these refuge cities, then the elders of this city shall send and bring him from there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Your eye shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel that it may go well with you. Now, if you'll just kind of think a minute of how our society currently is treating killers. We just had this one cop killer up north this week. They've already arrested, I think, seven or eight other accomplices who were helping to hide the man and help him and coming out so strongly for him, even though he had killed these policemen just in cold blood. But we have, you know, we're so twisted away, so we pity the poor guy who is arrested, right? I mean, the criminal now becomes the victim, right? It seems like. And talk about innocent blood, how many millions of babies have we aborted here in this nation the last 30, 40 years. And so we have innocent blood all over our hands in this land. And I think it, a passage like this really brings it into focus a little bit on how God hates that and how there will be an exacting for it at some point in time. And, of course, we know that. So what we have here is a provision for an unsolved murder. Israel, you're going to go into the land, and if the committer of the crime, if the murderer is found, and there's very exacting procedures what you do with him, you take his life, because his blood must be shed to satisfy the blood that he shed. That's what God is saying. But now in this case, you've got an unidentified murder, and you don't know who did it. And so what do you do in that case? Well, you still have to ask for covering from God for the blood that's been shed, even though you don't know who did it. And so here was the procedure that God laid out. You go to the city closest to where the slain body is found, and you have the elders of that city, and you have the Levites, the priest of that area. They come out to this area where this body is found. And we presumed here that they've done all the checking they can do, and there is no, they haven't been able to find any clues, really, or, you know, it's an unsolved murder mystery in a way, if you will. So what do you do? Well, they're instructed here in verse 4, the elders of the city nearest shall bring the heifer. And what kind of a heifer is this? It's a heifer, back in verse 3, that has not been worked and not pulled with a yoke. And exactly why that is, we don't know, but it's an unused heifer. It's almost like a virgin heifer in a way, in that it has not been tainted with the world yet as far as working and pulling with the yoke. They'll take that down to a valley with flowing water, which is neither plowed nor sown. So this is a rough valley. And again, why? We're not quite sure. The tradition of the Jews has it that until that murder is solved, that field was never to be tilled, but I don't know if that's tradition, not necessarily what it says here. So they take this heifer down to this valley where there's flowing water, and they break its neck in the New King James. In the Old King James, it's behead. And so the word can be translated both ways, either break the neck or behead. At any rate, it's killed. Some people believe there's a sacrifice here. I don't see a sacrifice in this. I just see blood being shed. I just see an animal being killed. Now, you might remember back in earlier on when there was the concept of the firstborn being given to the Lord. Do you remember that one? And do you remember what the prescription was for the firstborn donkey, what you did with him? See, you're supposed to sacrifice the firstborn to the Lord, but a donkey is unclean, so you couldn't sacrifice a donkey to the Lord. So what you did with a donkey, you took a lamb and redeemed the donkey. In other words, the lamb paid the price for the unclean donkey. And if there was no lamb to redeem the donkey, then you broke its neck. The breaking of the neck of the donkey is the same word as we have here, or breaking a neck or beheading. And I see in that one, of course, a picture of Christ. Here we come, we're unclean, and our neck is going to be broken, or we're going to die and be cast apart from the Lord forever unless we're redeemed, right? And who redeemed us? Of course, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just bring that up because it's the same word as we have here. They shall break the heifer's neck, or they shall behead the heifer there in the valley. Then the priest, the son of Levi, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister and to bless in the name of the Lord. By their word, every controversy and every assault shall be settled. And notice verse 6, all the elders, even if there's 30 or 40 elders of the city, all of them had to come out there. This is a big deal. You got the priests out there, and you got all the elders of the city out there. And keep in mind, this is an unsolved murder. This is how important life is to God. All the elders of that city nearest the slain man by proximity shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall pray. They shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Now here's the prayer. Provide atonement, or in the Old King James, be merciful. Be merciful, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people, and covering or an atonement shall be provided on behalf for the blood. So you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Now it would seem to me that the application for us today is that when we hear the wickedness in our land, the wickedness of the wicked in our land, we need to cry out earnestly to God for mercy. We need to cry out to God for covering for our land, which groans and trembles under this wickedness. And as the wickedness comes in and stains or pollutes the land, as we see here, I think we need to come in with prayer and ask for mercy. And so if any of you have any lack of awareness of the wickedness in this land, and you can just, you know, go over in the corner and pray by yourself. But there's plenty of wickedness, isn't there? Isn't there wickedness at every level now? And we have no fear of God in our leaders. We have our leaders actually recommending and legislating against God at every stage, don't we? So rather than calling the people to atone or to cry out for mercy for God to cover wickedness, our leaders, our elders, in effect, are doing the opposite, aren't they? They're saying, I heard last night a statement made that that one of the most wicked cities in the world now is Washington, D.C., because there's just, at every level of government, there's corruption, there's tremendous alcohol consumption. I think it leads the city in the United States for alcohol consumption, and so where we're told to abstain from wine and any other form of thing that messes our mind up, we've got more of it going on with our leaders than any place else. So we are hurting, and we are not only going down a slippery slope, we're plunging down a slippery slope, it seems to me. And so what are we to do? What's the church to do? It's not unusual to see the wicked sinning, but where are the prayers of the righteous? Where are the prayers of those who would come against this wickedness? So this prayer was very encouraging to me this morning, rather than be criticizing Obama and Reed and Pelosi and all these characters. We should be praying, right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this prayer and your emphasis on the sanctity of life here, and that when blood is shed, it cries out from the ground, even as Abel's blood cried out. And as you responded to Cain, what did you do to your brother? And Lord, all through your scripture here, we see the sanctity of life is just so important. That man created in your image is so far above animals and so far above other creatures. Man is the only created being that has a plan of redemption. And so, Lord, we are so precious to you, and yet we have thrown that away, and we make life so commonplace that we will protect the egg of a bird, but we will not protect a baby person. And so, Lord, the family is assaulted, the marriage is assaulted, and all of your principles are so under attack right now, Lord. And so we see the end must be very, very near, because how exacting was your judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lord, the only thing preventing that is that there are more than 10 righteous people in this land. And until those are taken out, I don't believe you're going to destroy this land, but it would seem like that's very close. At any rate, Lord, here we are to pray this morning, and we have much to pray for. So lead us and guide us now in this prayer. And we just want to come first and ask for a cleansing of our sin, that we would be clean in your sight, and we would be able to pray effectively, because you have said, "My hand is not short that I cannot save, nor my ear heavy that I cannot hear. But your iniquity has separated me from you, and because of your sin I will not hear your prayers." And so, Lord, we want to be quick to come and confess our sins in these sinning bodies. We will sin, I guess, every day until you give us our glorified body, and we can hardly wait for that. But we thank you the price has been paid, that your blood has been shed, and that all that is can possibly be done has been done for our salvation. And here we are, clean and forgiven, in the white righteous robes of Jesus Christ, not the black, terrible, stained robes of our own flesh. But we don't come in that. We come under your arm, Lord, and through what you have done for us. So lead us now in this time of prayer, and draw us into one accord. May we pray as one voice, Lord. And as each of us are praying, may we just be in agreement in our spirit, and Lord, not long, eloquent, fancy prayers, but just from the heart, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name.